Welcome to the Cat Clayton Mysteries. Do you enjoy mystery novels? Are you in the mood for some small town shenanigans? Or maybe you're on a road trip and looking for something to listen to. Either way, I am glad that you've tuned in. Think Murder, She Wrote, mixed with Legally Blonde in small town Texas. So, sharpen those sleuthing skills and let's solve some mysteries. Try to say that five times real fast. Oh, and a disclaimer. Like the dog in the books, my Chihuahua, Cuff, likes to be heard. And since he sits in my lap while I record, you may hear occasional puppy whining, a yip, or other doggy noises. Now, get cozy and let me tell you a few stories. Last week, we left off with Chapter 13. Steely Pop and Gertie stop by Orsak's cafe for a bite to eat. When Mrs. Orsak mentions that she heard about Steely and Nick's breakup, Grandma Gertie comes to Steely's defense. Let's find out what happens next. How to Leash a Thief, a Steely and Cuff Mystery, Book 1, Chapter 14. Gertie frowned, squinting at Mrs. Orsak.
What's on Steely's nose? Your business? No, I don't think so. Now, I realize everyone's entitled to his or her own opinion, but why don't you keep yours to yourself this afternoon? Our baby girl's had a rough go.
She pointed to her menu, thumping it with her index finger.
Now, I'll have the grilled cheese, and don't let them burn it either. I hate when I get those tiny black crumbles stuck in my dentures.
I cringed, but secretly did a happy dance inside my head. Go, Gertie. Pop frowned and apologized for his mother's behavior. We ordered our lunches and a pitcher of sweet tea for the table. In a huff, Mrs. Orsak scribbled down our orders and whirled around with her feathers ruffled. She marched into the kitchen. Mrs. Orsak and my grandmother were friends, but Gertie was a ferocious bulldog with those that she loved.
Got her, goose, Gertie said with a snort. Steely, you don't pay her no mind. She knows nothing about your life. And besides, Nick Campbell ain't right for you anyhow.
Your grandmother's right. Don't let it bother you, Pop said. He kept his thoughts and his opinions of Nick to himself. I know, but I wonder who leaked the news about him asking me to leave. Do you think it was Nick? He better not be spreading our business all around town.
Let's not allow gossip to ruin our lunch. We'll work on straightening out the details later, he said.
Randall Lamar, former Buckleville chief of police, had a way of fixing things. If anyone could help me put my life back in order, it was Pop. I brought up the car that had been following me.
Tell me more, Pop said.
Yes, tell us all the juicy details, Gertie said, rubbing her hands together.
Pop peered over his wire-rimmed glasses, giving her a stern look. He and I shared the same light brown eyes. At the moment, the sunlight illuminated specks of amber in his.
Mother, please.
He put a finger to his lips to quiet her. Steels, start from the night that you went to the shop after you heard about Samson's murder. I told him everything. Pop instructed that we stay in the Jeep while he went in to speak with Chief Becker. Luckily for us, the chief came strolling out the side door as Pop strode across the parking lot. I unrolled the window and could hear Pop laying down the law.
No murderous lowlife will stalk my baby girl, he bellowed.
I heard the roar of Officer Jackson's motorcycle. He pulled into the next parking space and killed the engine. I couldn't help but notice how good he looked dressed in his uniform. He removed his helmet, gave me a polite nod, and dismounted the bike. I flipped the sun visor sideways, blocking his view of me. The combined sense of exhaust and his woodsy cologne wafted through the open window.
Good afternoon, Miss Lamar, he said in a low, husky voice.
He lingered a few seconds as if waiting for a reply. When I didn't, he walked away, the gravel crunching under his boots.
I peeked under the visor, and as I did, he turned, catching my glance. He smirked. I chided myself for giving him the satisfaction. Saluting me, he entered the back door of the police department. In the back of the Jeep, Gertie had replaced her earbuds, the music bleeding from the tiny speakers. I searched the parking lot for Nick's truck, but then I remembered. His days off must have finally begun. A week off for the whole Steely debacle. Pop headed back toward the Jeep. Well, I prodded him. They will take the threat against you seriously starting now, he said, wiping the sweat from his brow with a sleeve. Good, I said, relieved. According to Becker, the black Buick showed up for sale at the used car lot in town. Do they know anything else about the car, like where it came from or who owned it? They're looking into it, he said, pulling out of the department's parking lot. The back tire squealed. He gave me a sideways glance. And about you interfering at the crime scenes, Becker is not a happy camper. I can see why. Gertie spoke up from the back seat.
He's never a happy camper. That man has a stick up his butt. He's always peeved at somebody. Did you know that last week he came over to the center and told me he was going to arrest me for cheating on my bingo card?
Pop pulled the rearview mirror down so he could get a good look at Gertie in the back seat. A stern look settled over his face. From my seat, I could see his right eyebrow arched.
What? Don't get all judgy up there. Ain't you ever cheated at anything in your life?
No, I haven't, he said, driving into the parking lot of Buckleville Foods. I told Becker you've sworn to stay out of things. It was the only way to get him to back off of your involvement and to take this threat seriously against you. I stared out the windshield. I needed to get over to the sales lot and check the car out myself. Tomorrow, maybe. Today, Pop would keep a close eye on me. Steely, did you hear me?
Yeah, I'll stay out of it.
I slumped in my seat, biting my tongue. While Pop ran into the grocery store, Gertie and I walked across the parking lot to Buckleville Hardware to pick up a new set of deadbolts for both front and back doors at the shop. Gertie, in her tight green dress, whined about the heat, but I mentioned the possibility of chocolate. I had no intention of leaving Gertie unattended in a running vehicle, not on my watch. Mr. Peters nodded at us from the sales counter. I waved, and despite Gertie's outrageous outfit, tried not to draw attention to us. Heading straight to the back far wall, where the doorknobs and locks were, I selected two sets of deadbolts. I'd install them myself this time. Couldn't be too difficult. On our way back to the front counter, we passed a hallway leading to what looked like a storeroom, or maybe his office. The door ajar, but the light was off. Gertie, can you keep a secret?
What's in it for me? She asked, her sunglasses perched on top of her head.
How about ice cream? I said, dangling the sweet possibility in front of her. Gertie snorted.
Huh, double or nothing, kid, and a chocolate bar from the front counter.
Oh, well, you drive a hard bargain, I said, extending my hand. We shook on it. I think Mr. Peters may know something about Samson's murder. I want to look in the office and see if I can find anything. I pointed down the hallway. But Pop will kill me if I get caught doing it. Can you keep watch? Clap loud twice if anyone comes around.
Clap twice? Well, that's a dumb signal, she said, stabbing her hips with her fists. And why do I have to be on the lookout? Why can't I be the one doing all the searching?
I pursed my lips. Stay here. I'll be right back. I ducked into the dim-lit hallway. The office was an absolute wreck. Towering stacks of papers covered the desk. Boxes overflowing with merchandise filled the room. I rummaged through the paperwork on the desk, only to discover a pile of bills, order invoices, and junk mail. Did the man ever think about organizing? A series of claps echoed from the outside of the door. More than two.
Crap.
I whirled around to hightail it out of there when the overhead light flipped on.
What in the hog hell are you doing in here?
Mr. Peters asked, his lips pulling into a snarl.
Think, Steely, and fast.
I was looking for the ladies' room.
His bristly eyebrows stabbed over his dark, beady eyes.
Nice try, Lamar.
Saw you on the surveillance camera up front. Let's go. I've already notified the police department. I grabbed the packages of locks from the desk and followed them out. Guilt spread across Gertie's face the moment we made eye contact.
Sorry, she said. He stuck up on me while I was filing my nails.
Your nails?
I can't have snagged fingernails wearing a dress like this, now can I?
At the counter, I set the locks down. Gertie nudged me from behind.
Can I have that chocolate bar you promised? I'm starving.
We just ate. Not to mention that she fell through on her job to keep watch, but now didn't seem a good time to argue that point.
But I'm hungry again, she said, her faded denim eyes shining. Please, Snickers does the body good.
She grinned and patted her stomach. Fine, I sighed, and it's milk. I just wanted to get this over with before I had to go deal with the police department and Pop.
What's milk?
She asked and reached for the candy bar. I didn't bother to explain about it being milk that does the body good. Eyeing me suspiciously, Mr. Peters padded behind the counter. I glanced around for the usual cashier. Odd.
Where's Sissy? I asked.
Cleo Peters eyed the locks before he scanned them. Had to let her go. What are these for? Sweat poured down the sides of his face. The heat in this place would suffocate the devil.
Well, after Mrs. Shermack, I'm changing out both locks to be on the safe side. Did you ever find your hammer?
Yep, he said. Cops had it. Seems I left it behind and Flora's murderer used it to throw the cops off.
He tapped the counter.
That'll be $16.50.
He tossed the locks into a plastic bag. Gertie shoved the Snickers bar at him.
This too. And Peters, why is it so hot in here?
She grabbed the weekly ad paper from the counter and fanned herself.
I'm sweating like a prostitute in church on Sunday.
I choked on my spit. Cleo Peters' eyes bulged. With pinched lips, he scanned the candy bar and handed it back to her without a word. Gertie ripped open the Snickers wrapper and took a bite.
Why aren't you and me friends no more?
You know why, he said, pointing a bony finger at her. Gertie's chest puffed up like a hen's as she peered at him. She bit off another chunk of the Snickers bar, a string of caramel dangling from her lower lip. The animosity rolled off of them in waves.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Peters. You're a sore loser. Those card games were so long ago, you need to get over it.
Gertie wiped her mouth with the back of her hand, the caramel strand disappearing. That's enough, Gertie. I dug into my handbag and withdrew my wallet.
I'm sorry about all this. I handed him $17, and I don't need any change. And we'll wait for the police near the front door. Sorry for all the trouble.
Forget it. I was bluffing. I never called them, he admitted.
Well, that was good to know. At least Pop wouldn't have to hear about this incident. I turned to Gertie. Let's go. I don't cook, unless you call grilled cheese cooking. I even burned scrambled eggs. So Gertie whipped up supper, which meant I had dish duty. I surveyed the kitchen. Pop was untidy, but Gertie was a complete disaster. As I cleaned up Gertie's mess, I glanced up. How my grandmother got a wad of mashed potatoes up on the ceiling, I hadn't the faintest clue. I winced, picking up a brittle sponge with two fingers and tossed it in the trash. I used a wad of paper towels to wash the dishes and a bath towel to dry. After dislodging the potato pile from the ceiling and wiping down the counters, I took it one step further and cleaned out the refrigerator. Good grief! Yogurt dated from last year. The jug of milk resembled buttermilk, and a suspicious mound of green fuzz covered a plate. Maybe it was a good thing I'd come home. After supper, Gertie retired early and Pop and I sat in front of the TV. Pop's true crime reality shows were right up my alley. Cuff jumped up and sprawled across my lap.
I'm so sleepy, Chiquita.
He yawned and closed his eyes. I patted his smooth head. I heard a snuffling sound and glanced up at Pop. Behind his glasses, fat tears threatened to spill from his baggy eyes. The man needed more sleep. Or less stress. If I let anything happen to you, your mother will come back and haunt me. I need you to be careful. I don't know what I'd do if anything happened to you. His voice cracked and laced with worry. Pop, you don't have to. Yes, I do. He muted the TV. Cleo Peters called this afternoon and said that you harassed him at a store, and that the next time he is calling the chief. You promised me you'd stay out of this.
I was looking for the bathroom.
Save it. He furrowed his eyebrows. The poor man has enough on his plate trying to pay off those gambling debts and keeping the store up and running, not to mention that he lost a good friend. He doesn't need you bothering him.
Fine, but I only tried to see if he knew anything. And as for Mrs. Shermack's murder, do you think it's possible that her husband lost his cool over their money issues? Isn't the spouse usually the first suspect?
Steals. You can't go around pointing your finger at folks unless you have concrete evidence. I thought you would have learned that from growing up under my roof. I heard the frustration in his voice. And Mr. Shermack bakes scones and pies for Pete's sake. He's not a killer. Pop peered at me over his glasses. Steely, these shenanigans have got to stop. Cuff opened one eye.
Shenanigans. I like that word. Your pop makes a valid point, Chiquita. You keep nosing around, and you could end up D-E-A-D, like the schnauzer's human.
Oh, go back to sleep, I thought. Cuff let out a rumbling growl. I gave his ear a little thump. With so much experience under his belt, Pop's instincts were usually spot on. It did me no good to keep hashing this out with him. It was best to let it go. Okay, I get it, Pop. With super dad scanning powers, he analyzed me. I shrank into the couch, wishing I could disappear into the cushion. He raised one eyebrow. Do you? Because a huge part of me thinks that you're only telling me what I want to hear. Pop twisted the TV remote over and over in his hands, inspecting it. He let out a heavy sigh. Let's change the subject. Are you going to the 4th of July parade in the morning? I shrugged. I think I'll pass. With all that I had going on, I had forgotten tomorrow was the holiday. The shop would be closed, but I didn't feel up to celebrating. And after my name being in the paper, I didn't want to subject myself to finger-pointing and gawking. Well, how about the party at the Peepers tomorrow evening? His foot jiggled on the footrest. The Peepers were Brandon Tripp's in-laws. Brandon is Nick's best friend, so Nick would probably be there. Well, I'm sure Nick will go. Maybe I should just stay home. I was thinking about taking Gertie. Remember, the Peepers have been family friends of ours before Brandon Tripp married Kaylee. Well, he had a point, and I had promised Kaylee I'd go. Chances were high that Nick wouldn't cause a confrontation in front of a crowd. He was much too concerned with his reputation. Well, no promises, Pop, but I'll sleep on it. Night. Night, Steals. Unfortunately, the only party-worthy dress I had and thrown in my suitcase the other night when Nick kicked me out exposed my scabby, bruised knees. It'd have to do. I did my best with makeup to conceal the ugly knot on my forehead from the unfortunate collision with the desk. It turned to a murky green-yellow in the past 2 days. Not at all attractive. I stepped into the kitchen and found Pop and Gertie playing a game of cards. Y'all ready? Despite my hesitations about seeing Nick, we'd attend the Peepers' annual 4th of July party together. Gertie looked over the fan of cards in her hand and whistled. I gave a little twirl and then took a bow.
I'm loving that navy sundress. You're gonna rock someone's boots off tonight.
I chuckled. Too soon, and I'm sure everyone's boots will remain on their feet tonight. Pop shook his head with a no-comment look and put his hand of cards down on the table. He got up and headed for the back door. We should take separate cars since Gertie and I will probably leave early. I can't stay out like I used to, he said, reaching for his keys. You bringing the little guy? He nodded at Cuff. With my blingy flip-flop, I nudged Cuff. Hey, sleepyhead, you coming? Sprawled out on his bed in the kitchen's corner, he yawned and rolled over, exposing a pink belly.
I need some puppy shut-eye. But don't do anything I wouldn't do, Chiquita.
Well, it looks like Cuff is staying home, I said. Hey, I've got a quick errand to run before I head out to the peepers. I'll just meet y'all there.
I'm riding with Steely, Gertie said, bolting out the door. Shotgun!
She yelled before I could even think about protesting. I smirked. Must be my lucky day.
We'll toss a coin next time to see who gets her.
Pop laughed. Squeezed into a silky crimson, knee-high prom dress, Gertie scrambled into the bug. Just before she slammed the door, I caught sight of the red high-top Converse. She grinned at me through the passenger window.
Can we make a pit stop? I'm out of smokes, she hollered through the glass. And hurry, it's hot as balls in here.
Mouth of a sailor, but a heart of gold. You know those things will be the death of you, right? I said, climbing in. I turned over the engine and switched the AC on max.
At least I'll die a happy woman.
A few minutes later, Gertie started pushing random buttons on the bug's dashboard. She switched on the hazard lights before I swatted at her hand.
Open the sunroof, she shouted over the radio. Now that I'm out of the old folks' joint, I need the wind in my hair, and I need to feel fancy free.
I thought you said you were hot, I reminded her, turning off the hazard lights.
No, I said it was hot as balls in here, but that was before you cranked the AC down so low that my headlights are showing.
I reached up and flipped the knob on the ceiling panel. The sunroof slid open and a blast of heat washed in, hopefully aiding my grandmother's situation. When dealing with Gertie, sometimes silence is the best response. We rolled down Main Street, music blaring like we were two teenagers cruising. Sporting aviators, Gertie switched my usual country station to classic rock, strummed her air guitar, and belted the wrong lyrics to Simple Man.
Don't you forget you have to run me by the store,
she yelled in my ear. You don't have to holler, I can hear you. And maybe you should try the patch. Or what about one of those vapor thingies? I hear it's healthier, I told her.
Patches and vapes are for wusses. If I'm going to get my nicotine, I want it the old-fashioned way.
I spotted the gas station up ahead. Fine, but we need to hurry. Remember, I have to make a stop before we head out to the peeper's place.
Where?
She asked, bobbing her head along to the music. It's a secret mission. I flashed her a smile and winked. She tossed her head back and cackled.
Ooh, I love me some secret missions.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Are you curious about what happens next? Be sure to hit subscribe and tune in next Tuesday to find out. If you're enjoying the Cat Clayton Mysteries podcast, I would appreciate if you would rate and review so that other listeners can discover the podcast as well. Thank you for listening. Until next week, stay happy and sleuth on, my friends.